My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Character Concerns on the cusp of August 2023. Training camp has begun. Guys already hurt, but Kristen Ocero and I aren't. Kristen Ocero, Jay Binkley, our man Nick Schwart, of course, is the only guy on here. It's the three guys from Character Concerns. He'll still join us from time to time, I do believe was his intentions, but he moved to Colorado. He was the producer of Cody and Gold. He went out to Colorado. He's going to be working for Bleacher Report. Kristen Ocero and I will keep this bad boy rolling, and we'll keep on and kind of getting things really moving towards the NFL draft like we did last year with all the draft coverage we had for 610 Sports Radio on not only the radio, but on our podcast as well as we did. I think we started back in February or March, something like that.
It was like right before the combine.
Yeah, and we did like one a week, except for some of those we had three or four a week.
Yeah, once it got down to draft time,
we slowed down to where just one a week, one every 2 weeks during the summer, obviously with the, you know, things kind of settling down for college and pro football. But camps will begin here in the first part of August with college football. We've got NFL camps already started, like the Chiefs. Already started up in St. Joe. So Chris and I will dive into that. We get the college football season right upon us. So essentially, we're there. We would have done one of these last week, but I had to fill in on another show in Festival in the Morning.
We've been real busy,
but we got time today to talk football. Chris, football's back. I know, hey, people say, hey, it's just training camp. Tell that to those, 6,000-7,000 people in line waiting to get into Chiefs training camp. Those lines were huge.
When's the Hall of Fame game for the NFL? When is that? Is that 2 weeks from today?
I think it's 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks from Thursday.
2 weeks from Thursday. So it's a week from this Thursday.
Let me get you the actual date. But once that happens, you pretty much have a game every weekend because you got the preseason games going all the way up until the NFL takes a little bit of hiatus. And then it becomes...
Take about a week and a half off, and then I think it's September 9th is when the Chiefs open the season against
August
the Lions.
August 3rd is the Jets and the Browns.
So, it's a week from this Thursday.
Okay. From this Thursday. So, it's 2 weeks from last Thursday. I remember it was on Thursday, but... So, Hall of Fame game, once it starts and the preseason gets rolling, and then I love that first college weekend, week zero. So you have that college football.
Right? A lot more teams are playing week zero this year.
I know they are, but I love that, though. So you can sit back and that way, all right, you chill. It's just college football. Then you go into NFL. And then when you get in the fall, you get the best of all worlds. You got high school football, which you and I like. You got college football on Saturday. Then we have NFL on Sunday. But essentially, football's back, and it never really felt like it left, Chris.
Oh, no, it did. It did. Don't lie.
No, I didn't think it did, though, because you had we get the Super Bowl done. And then, of course, there's all the celebrations here in Kansas City. And then you got the Combine, which we like. And then, of course, the NFL Draft. And then all that lead up to the NFL Draft. Then once you had the NFL draft, you started having OTAs and stuff like that. Tell me the damn down period, Chris, because then you had
after the draft. There's not a whole lot that happens after the draft. You have rookie minicamp.
You
have rookie minicamp, but it's like 3 days. And then after that, you get OTAs, but we don't hear anything from OTAs. We just know who's at OTAs. And then after that, it's a long run up until they get to the mandatory camp. And then after that, there's nothing until training camp happens. So it's been a whole lot of nothing. We have been devoid of football now for a little while now.
Well, the Chiefs had their first practice on Sunday. As we cut this now, it's on a Monday. Another practice today. We haven't seen Kadarius Toney. He got nicked up returning punts. Back on Sunday, that was, what would Carrington say? So I'm like, he got hurt before the first water break.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that and what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs. As both Chris and I were real heavy onto wide receivers in the draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this year's draft class looks loaded as far as wide receivers are concerned. I think you're really going to be excited about the college football talent. This draft is loaded. I will say right now, this draft has more first-round talent than the draft did in Kansas City, the one that's going to be here in Detroit in 24.
Yeah, I think so. I think this draft, I mean, quarterback-wise, I think it's better. I think it could be, I think it's better, especially at the very top. I think receiver-wise, it's really strong.
Taller, bigger.
Left tackle, like tackle-wise, because the Chiefs could be in the market for a tackle.
Yeah, John Alt's kid there from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Chiefs could be in the market for a tackle in the future. Tackle looks really good in this year's draft class. As far as I've seen, it's not quite the edge rusher class that we've seen in the past, but it's a really good running back class. So, like, this is definitely going to be a good place for the Chiefs to potentially load up on some positions that they don't maybe quite need per se. Maybe wide receiver could be the only need that they have, but other positions they could load up on that could give them some options in the future.
I mean, I've seen a couple mock drafts. I've seen some with 6 to 7 quarterbacks being taken in this draft,
which is ridiculous.
Names down the KJ Jefferson, which, I mean, come on.
It doesn't happen.
Quinn Ewers. No, it doesn't. But right now, besides Drake May and Caleb Williams, we know they're going to be stars, but you got Michael Penix, former Indiana quarterback that's out at Washington now. Bo Nix, the former Auburn quarterback that's out at Oregon. You need a roadmap in college football right now because Sam Hartman, the old quarterback of Wake Forest that dominated, he's starting quarterback for Notre Dame. So, I mean, you need a roadmap on what's going on in college football right now. But I'm not saying the draft would be better. The draft is better in Kansas City because it was the best draft in the history.
It was a lot of fun.
The way that thing was set up. But I think the talent, I really like the talent. I've seen where Brock Bowers, the best tight end, a generational type tight end, Ed George is going like 12th or 13th. And keep that in mind, that comes closer to KC now. It's not as asking as far to trade up if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. But wide receiver, we'll get to this stuff in a minute. But wide receiver, tight end, I'm still sticking with needs that I had last year to begin the draft, to be quite honest with you, because they've gone, 7 out of 10 picks on defense 2 years ago, 5 out of 7 this past year. Let's get the offensive ball rolling. But you want to talk about a game changer in college football. I believe it is a man that's probably not going to be at his current home all that long because he's going to be a hot commodity in college football, maybe. If he can win a few games, I mean, he's got to go out and win football games.
He's got to win.
Deion Sanders and going to Colorado, and who knows if Colorado ends up in the Big 12 or not. I mean, it doesn't matter for Deion's brand. I don't think being the Pac 12 or Big 12, it doesn't matter. But the one thing about it is when they had their spring game a couple months ago, and there's ESPN and ESPN Plus, and they're showing a bunch of these spring games, and the Colorado spring game was a sellout. And keep in mind, this team does not win games lately.
They win one game last year?
They're bad.
They were 1-11, I think, last year?
They sold out their spring game. Guess what network they were on? ESPN. You know what? Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Bama, Texas. You name all these schools, you know where their spring game was? ESPN Plus. They put the ESPN game on ESPN, or the Colorado game on ESPN. Why? Deion Sanders.
Yeah, it was, and this is the interesting thing about him as he goes into his first season as a Power 5 head coach. What is going to constitute success for Deion this year? That, to me, is really interesting. Because, like, and I know it's early, But I was looking at the rivals team rankings for 2024. My Florida Gators are number 3 in the class, so I'm feeling pretty good about this. Guess where Colorado ranks right now in recruiting?
When he first got there, the recruits, a lot of 4-stars.
Yeah.
15th?
15th right now?
I knew that early on they were right like 4th.
Yeah.
But right they slipped.
They're 60th.
They're 60th now.
60th right now.
But they were way up there.
Yeah. But now they've had to do a whole... I mean, okay. You know how it is.
When I know.
New coach comes in, a lot of guys decommit. A lot of guys end up transferring that are already there. And he was pretty... He was like... He wanted to try and get a lot of those guys out there. I mean, hell, after that spring game you mentioned... There were some guys that transferred that entered the transfer portal right after.
It was like record number of kids that jumped in the transfer portal. And I was saying, why are they doing this with Deion? Because Deion's fun. Deion's prime time.
I don't think it's them. I think it's him. Well, I think he wanted them to go.
What I'm saying is, buyer beware with Deion. Yeah. Do I think he's electric personality? Yes. But here's the thing. Deion is closer to old school coach than you would admit.
Oh yeah,
not you, but because he looks like fun. It's Deion, and you know it's no.
He's a hard ass.
No, he's a hard ass, and things don't fly around Deion, and he gives you less of a pass than a lot of hardened coaches give you. Is Deion Sanders? I mean, it's not all fun and games. He's a strict disciplinarian, but that's what you're getting with Deion. That's why Deion coaches old school, but here's the thing. I don't know if that really matters. It matters if you're Deion Sanders, you want to recruit somebody, they love the name, but then all of a sudden they get in there and like, whoa, Deion's changed, man. I like it, but I don't know if kids like it.
I think the big thing that's going to, what matters is how much, if any, improvement they make this year. How much improvement happens at Colorado this year? I think that's going to be a big selling point for him.
Won one game last year, then 4-4-5-1.
Right. And he had a lot of success at Jackson State.
So less than 10 victories in the last 3 seasons combined.
Yeah. He had a lot of success at Jackson State. Jackson State is an HBCU in the SWAC. Mm. Not a lot of talent there in that conference. He brought out a lot of talent there, and then he took it with him to Colorado.
Including his son, Shakir Sanders. Mm-hmm. Some say could be a first-round pick.
Some say. I'm not 100% sold on that, but some say he could be that. But you have a lot of pressure on you because as you brought up, ESPN following around, I guarantee you early in the season, College Game Day is going to be at Colorado. Going to happen.
And I wouldn't be shocked if they had an in-season like Hard Knocks type stuff because ESPN does this a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It
wouldn't shock me either. Yeah.
Like a Colorado.
ESPN Plus type situation. Coach Prime.
Guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll call it Coach Prime.
They're going to follow him around. There's going to be so much press coverage. So many cameras following them around. They got to win. And what happens if they only win like 3 games? I mean, yeah, it's an increase from the one they won last year, but is that anything that you can use to positively recruit?
It's kind of right on par with what they've been. And here's the one thing about Colorado, Chris. They should just stay right where they're at. Coming to the Big 12 would be a horrible decision for them. And I know the Big 12, listen, I know Big 12, the old school Big 12 people want to welcome Colorado back. But here's the thing. If you're Colorado, don't you want to sit in a Pac-12? That is so weak right now. And what I mean by right now is soon, because USC and UCLA are going to be spending the 25 season in the Big Ten. They're leaving. So you take that. Who knows who ends up there? San Diego State was rumored there for a while. Didn't look like they're going to be there. But that conference is going to be weak now. It's going to be down to 10 teams. But do you have a better chance to win there than he ever will in the Big 12?
Maybe, but even like in the Big 12, without Oklahoma and Texas, there's a void at the top. If he can raise up that conference, if he can raise that team up, that program up, turn him into a winning team.
I'll give you Oklahoma, but not Texas.
Him going to if he goes to the Big 12, immediately they're the top because TCU's not recruiting very well right now. TCU's just. Like I think 2 spots ahead of Colorado, and they're 58 right now. They're not recruiting that well, so you're not seeing a lot of momentum.
Playoffs, didn't they?
Exactly. So there's not a lot of momentum there for Sonny Dykes. They are in a situation where they could very well make that jump and be on top there. I'm interested in where that's going to go long term, because he's got so much pressure on him right now. And everybody is going to be looking at him to immediately have some sort of success. They get 5-6 wins. I think you could chalk that up as a victory. You're like, okay, that's a good start for Coach Prime. We'll see.
They don't even have the money to pay him. They got to pay these checks in the cash.
I know, exactly. So, like, obviously, there's gonna be a lot of work to do there. You get 5 or 6 wins, you can start to get a little momentum, and you could parlay that into like maybe a 9 or 10 win season in year two,
or parlay it into a head coaching job in the SEC.
Or I think it's gonna take him a few years to do that.
But you could though, if you recruit, it's one of the things to be.
He hasn't proven he can recruit, though.
He hasn't. But the one thing is, I think he gets his foot in the door because he's Deion. If he makes a phone call, you listen, you answer it. It's Deion Sanders, you answer the phone. Then he's got to make a sales pitch, but it's got to be believable because you hear all these stories and you start seeing the guys and what are the guys saying about Deion? Why are they leaving? Because we got to remember something. There's a huge age gap between Deion and the kids right now. Maybe they know him, maybe they don't.
He's not a young guy anymore.
No, I mean, he's been out of the league so long that a lot of these were like babies.
Isn't he in his early 50s now? Pretty sure Deion is late 40s, early 50s.
But the obviously, it's a legend, and you've heard of him just like Bo Jackson is, and everybody knows who he is because he's an absolute legend, and people will see the film and stuff like that. Right. But just different era. Now, if Deion was in this era of Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it.
If he was like just fresh out of playing, if he was like mid-30s, he would have he'd have an advantage as far as recruiting.
Deion's 55.
55. So he's mid-50s.
So again, these 17 or these 18 year olds you're recruiting?
Yeah. So he's like 20 years removed.
You were 35. Okay. When they were probably knew who the hell you were, they're 6 or 7. You're already a 42 year old dude.
Yeah. And like he still has his reputation.
I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't have
a reputation, but at the same time,
you don't remember prime time.
He doesn't have the same kind of recruiting appeal that some of these other coaches do, who've been in that game and know how to appeal to these kids, and don't have those sensibilities, or at least are able to put those sensibilities aside so that they can connect with these kids.
I like him. I'll be honest with you. I find Colorado fascinating, and I haven't thought of Colorado being fascinating in the long time.
I don't think anybody's ever found them that.
But I do follow what Deion's doing. I followed his career kind of before he got there. I enjoyed watching him on TV. I grew up in the Deion era. I understand that you respect what a good football player he was and just how good of a football player he was. And I've always liked him. I'm rooting for Deion Sanders, Whether guys leave the program, come into the program, whatever, I'm rooting for Deion Sanders. And I always will.
Yeah, I hope he succeeds too. I think it could give a lot of black coaches opportunities coming up through his system and then eventually going to other programs. So yeah, I'm rooting for him too. I just, like, part of me is looking at this situation there. And I mean, certainly you can make a recovery on the recruiting class deal. I mean, Alabama right now is like in the 30s. So, like, they can make a recovery because they're Alabama.
Few 5 stars.
Yeah. You get a couple 5 stars, all of a sudden you're top 20, and you get another one, you're top 10.
They don't need them. They just go get 4 stars, and they automatically turn into 5 stars magically overnight because Alabama won you.
Exactly. You can load up on those 4s, and you're good
to go. That's what Kansas basketball does all the time. They'll take a 3-star.
Yeah.
They'll offer him a scholarship.
5 stars.
Then all of a sudden he's 5 stars the next day.
He gets upgraded his senior year.
Yeah. Whoa!
We're slipping
on this guy.
Yeah. So Deion, I feel like is in a tough spot where, like, early on, I hope people don't like immediately brand him a failure. Yeah. And he's fighting an uphill battle though, because recruiting is paramount in college football, and he still hasn't proven he can recruit.
What's hurting too, Chris, is several things, and I mentioned the. Here's a guy, and I don't think that the NFL, I mean, he hadn't really talked much about the NFL. I don't see him wanting to go to the NFL. Like, things I've heard
I don't think
say,
so either.
I don't think that's his deal. I think he likes college football.
He doesn't have the power that he has at the collegiate level.
But if you recruit to Deion, the number one thing you ask yourself, how long will he be here? Because you ask all coaches, but they don't. And the kids will admit it. They go to play football because of who coach is.
Right.
And you know what, though? The way the rules are now, the coach bounces, they can bounce. They have the old transfer portal. The minute, hey, coach leaving, okay, put me in the transfer portal, and they're gone. Just like that. But I would be concerned about that as a recruit. Like, do I really want to uproot and move to Colorado? And then Deion ends up at Ole Miss in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Or you don't know what's going to happen. Or Mississippi State. You don't know what's going to happen. But I think that's one thing, because people see Deion as a coach maybe on the right. If he wins. If he wins, you know how this works. The cycle works. They hit five wins in November, you know, or even if I win. Then the rumors start going about Deion and where's he going to end up? Where's he going
to
end up?
Five wins, I don't think, does it. If they were to turn into a double-digit win team this year, 100% there's going to be some SEC team out there.
Let me ask you this.
He's going to be linked.
What about Florida State? I mean, getting Deion back.
I actually, you know what's funny?
That would be, I mean, think about it.
I actually think that would be, if he were to leave Colorado, that would be the spot he would go to above an SEC school, because that is his alma mater.
That is a
place. And like at one point, that was like a destination place. That was one of the elite programs of blue blood. And yeah, when Bowden was there, I mean, even when Jimbo Fisher was there, it was like a destination spot. They recruited incredibly well in Florida, and they were very successful, won a national title. So, like, yeah, I could totally see him going there above, and I could see him spurring SEC schools and choosing to go and go to Florida State, because it makes a lot of sense.
No, he could, and you could win there too. You win better there than you can at SEC.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If the money is right, and obviously Florida State has a ton of money.
They got money. They're good. They're good.
But the health concerns, and you know. Pray Deion gets better. He's been dealing with that foot and everything else.
Blood clots, stuff like that. Yeah.
He was unable to go to the Pac-12 media days. And you know the Pac-12 is probably banking on that, because all of a sudden, right. You know, their conference is so down. They're trying to work on TV deals because they don't really have, you know, a linear and a digital TV.
A lot
package.
Of people are thinking they're going to be on the CW.
Yeah, and then and then USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. And they're like, oh, get Deion coming. Deion will light things up, and he'll be front page news. He'll be first soundbite on ESPN. Deion wasn't able to make it.
Nope.
So that's Pac-12's luck right now.
Yes.
But yeah. Praying Deion gets better at that situation. That's definitely my coach to watch this year when you think about guys in different situations. And I mean, Luke Fickle and what he does at Wisconsin is somewhat interesting, because we've seen so many of the good coaches go to Wisconsin. They're good, but not great.
They're never great.
They have Wisconsin very good, and they'll challenge for the Big Ten. But can they put them in the circle of college football playoff teams? And Luke Fickle's a guy. I mean, he took Cincinnati to the damn playoffs, man. He could take Wisconsin in the playoffs.
But that
conference is freaking loaded,
though. And that's my point. It's like, it's not like Cincy was. Was it Conference USA they were in?
They're loaded.
Like, it's not the same thing. Actually, they were American, right? Or was it Conference USA? Tough. I mean, a much easier conference when you have.
They would have been American.
Yeah, Mid-American. Okay.
No, American.
Oh, the American.
Not the Mac.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mac. Okay.
I wish they were Mac.
But yeah, I mean, it was a lot easier for him to go out there and win in the American when you had all this NFL talent and you were going against a bunch of teams that didn't really have much of it. But now you're coaching at a school that has a ton of NFL talent in the competing schools in the conference. It's going to be a hell of a lot tougher for Fickle there at Wisconsin.
We have 14 teams in different conferences now, some power schools. So.
And not only that, but like other teams that recruit better than you.
Yeah,
like
Conference
Michigan
USA is a
shell
of former self.
Yeah, yeah. So Fickle's going to have it tough there in the Big Ten.
I know he is. But one thing we mentioned earlier was the quarterbacks in college football. Because right now, college football is about the quarterback again. Kind of took a hiatus a little bit. There wasn't really that buzz this year. I didn't feel there was good quarterbacks that came out in the draft this year, but there's definitely not the buzz that
was
you had.
I feel like there was.
Oh, Bryce Young
and C.J. Stroud. That was like a good competition.
But that ain't Caleb Williams.
It's not Caleb. I don't know about
the star power.
I don't know about
this
Drake
quarterback
May.
Class is more than
Drake
than
May. I don't know. I don't think he's at the same level as Caleb.
Oh, he's starting to get that. Well, no.
He's getting some hype, but like you remember, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young had a ton of hype year before they got drafted.
There was so much criticism on Bryce. Oh, he's too short. He's not big enough.
Yeah,
C.J. Stroud.
But that was like the draft process. That wasn't.
I know.
That wasn't during the season. That was the draft process.
But I'm talking just the different mocks I've looked at. Michael Penix. Quinn Ewers, which I'm shocked because I honestly feel like
I don't think he's a first round quarterback.
I honestly feel like Arch Manning will take over that program at some point.
I don't think during the year, no.
So you're going to get him for what, two seasons tops, Arch Manning?
Yeah.
So, but all these quarterbacks, you know, in the list, guys that were fringe guys like Bo Nix, you start KJ Jefferson down at Arkansas, but
But Caleb Williams is an interesting guy because a lot of people making the comparison, well, obviously he was going to start because he used to be, all right, who's the next Favre? Who's the next Aaron Rodgers? Who's the next Tom Brady? We still haven't figured out who the next Tom Brady is. I don't think I've seen one.
I don't think we're going to have another Tom Brady.
But now we hear who's the next Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's being compared to him, including Caleb.
And I just don't think it, I don't think it's very fair for people to start comparing him specifically to Mahomes. First and foremost, Mahomes, what Mahomes does at a base level, not like at the elite improvisational stuff he does, but at a base level, the pocket movement, things like that, there's a lot more quarterbacks doing that in college football and the NFL. I mean, if you watch film on Bryce Young, what was one of the things that he was that was heavily touted about his abilities? It was his ability to move around the pocket and make some of those impromptu throws, make some of those tough throws without a solid base, 2 feet planted, you know, being able to step up like that. CJ Stroud did that as well when he was at Ohio State. Like, it's not as unique that guys are able to move around the pocket and be able to throw on the run like it was, you know, decades ago. So, like, that aspect I don't think should be compared to Patrick Mahomes, which I think is what the big comparison with him and Caleb Williams is his ability to throw on the run, his ability to move around the pocket. And it's like, there's a lot of quarterbacks doing that. But what Patrick Mahomes does is vastly different. It's way more advanced. The ability, I mean, just the creativity
with
the improvisation.
You can't simulate it. You can't have him drop back and simulate these things in practice or pro days. So renowned quarterback, this is from Sports Illustrated, renowned quarterback coach Tom House said on the Adam Schefter podcast that Williams will be, quote, the second coming of Pat Mahomes. Here was his reaction, this Caleb Williams reaction, quote, it's pretty cool, I'd say, just because everybody watches Patrick and sees all the cool things he can do. Now, keep in mind, I think before the Super Bowl, the second one.
Yeah.
And he told Zach Gelb of CBS Sports Radio, he says, quote, I always said, even in high school, that I don't think there's anything, obviously, he's special, but I don't think there's anything that I can't do that he's doing out there. That's what he had said. And, okay, it's one thing to have some swag. It's one thing to have some confidence. But I haven't seen anybody be able to. Now, if he's putting it out there, maybe he can do it. We don't know. Maybe he can do it. But when you make statements like that, he doesn't want the comparisons, really. I mean, you would think he would welcome the Patrick Mahomes comparisons. Because when I think about comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, what kind of improvisations can this guy make? Because I remember when Wink Martindale was the coach of the Ravens and they'd play the Chiefs. And he was always so flustered. I always liked to hear defensive coordinators and how they planned on stopping Mahomes because they never had an answer. Yeah. I mean, they would be second guessing. They wouldn't tell you what they're going to do, but they tried different stuff. We've seen everything thrown at Mahomes and Reed. And he said, there's two plays, the plays they call and the play they run. because Mahomes will take anything, and it doesn't matter what the play is, he will find a way to do it. Even if you go back there and say, hey, just run a post, just run, go out. Mahomes is so good, it was almost like, just go out. Like how you played the backyard where you say, all right, just go out. I'll find you. Just go out.
Just run around and get open.
Like, he can literally do that.
Yeah. And I don't think it's fair to say, because, like, first and foremost, in all likelihood, he's probably not going to end up on a team with an offensive play caller that's going to want him to do the things that Mahomes does. Like, the Chiefs give Patrick Mahomes a lot of freedom, a lot of leeway. I don't know if you've been watching the quarterback series, but the quarterback series kind of showcases how much creativity they allow for their quarterback. Like, I think it was episode 4. And in that episode, they kind of showed off the lab, if you will, that they call
the lab,
where they let them go out there.
Wednesday lab.
And they get to create plays. And Mahomes is heavily involved in that aspect of the offense, where him and the guys are drawing up plays, practicing them, working on them, so that they can show them to Andy and see if they can get it in the playbook. What quarterback do you know that's doing that?
You don't.
What quarterback do you know that's involved in the creative process of the offense like that?
Well, he's so smart. And Mahomes is on par or better than every offensive coordinator in this league.
Yeah.
Just because of the football that he knows. And he's only going to get better. By the time he's like 32, 33, in my opinion, I mean, he will know everything. And
Peyton Manning got to a stage in his career, and even Phillip Rivers to some extent, where they would just turn play calling over to them. And especially in two-minute drills. Would I be shocked at all if they just let Patrick Mahomes do whatever he wants, 2 minutes left in the game? No, I wouldn't be shocked at all because he's out there. He knows what's going on. He knows the ebb and flow and what's going on. And I think he's creative on it. I like the fact they made plays. And this goes back to when Tyreek was here. They would create plays. We've seen a bunch of that. Like when Patrick Mahomes went in motion against the Panthers. He didn't know he could go in motion, so they asked Bieniemy and stuff. He's like,
They had a rules guy on there. There's a rules analyst or something on their team.
And they would go to Bieniemy and say, hey, man, can I go in motion? And Bieniemy's like, let me check on it. So he checked on it.
Their rules guy said, yep, you can do
that. And then he throws it in there. Then we saw the Vegas, the ring around the rosy play, which, by the way.
The snow globe.
I actually think that is one of the most creative plays I've seen in football.
Yeah.
Now, some people will say, oh, man, this is Chiefs, it's trickery. That defense was literally confused. They didn't know who was going where they were lining up. To me, that was a brilliant play call because you don't know who's where. You don't know where Mahomes is. Is he a quarterback? Is he not? You don't know. I think that play call was brilliant. But you take ownership in what you're doing if you have the chance to create it. Now, Andy Reid doesn't have to take it. He doesn't have to accept it. But a good manager accepts ideas from those that work with him. And they feel like they have ownership in it, and they take a little pride in it. Well, these Chiefs seem to take pride and ownership in the kind of plays that they create. But Mahomes creates things that he thinks will work. None of these plays are put in there that won't work. They're plays that he sees like, man, if we just would have done this, we'd got 15, 20 yards. They're plays he knows will work.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I just don't think it's a great idea to start comparing anybody to Mahomes. Remember when they were doing that with Zach Wilson? And everyone was
supposedly
kind of,
he looks good, but because Aaron Rodgers there. But go ahead.
I don't believe that.
I'm just saying this is what he's
like. I don't believe that. Like a lot of guys look good in camp. Shane Bichelle's looked good in the practices that he's had during the off season, but he's not. You know, we're not trusting him to be our starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'm tired of all the guys look good in shorts and
everybody looks good when they're in shorts and shells and helmets. You know,
making comparisons to Mahomes is tough for anybody because what can you do when the play breaks down? Because that's what makes Mahomes special,
right? And not only that, but like the knowledge of the offense. Like right now, I don't know if there's a quarterback in the league that has as much understanding of the offense that he plays in and has much autonomy in the offense that he plays in than Patrick Mahomes. I just don't think there's a quarterback in the league.
It's free reign to do what he does, and you can see the connection with like Kelsey. They just have that ability where one knows where the other one's going.
They know what they're doing.
Kelsey just knows, Mahomes is going to throw it over here. He just has that ability. He's made several catches where like, well, I just took a guess as to where Mahomes would put it. That's where the ball ended up.
Right.
Where Mahomes, because he leads receivers. I remember when he first got to the Chiefs, he made a comment. My job is just put the ball in the hands of my playmakers, let them make plays. But when he does it, he doesn't do dead-end passes. They're always, you know, passes out front where you got your momentum going, your speed.
Yeah, let guys catch it
and develop. He just sees the game. You've heard about the photographic memory and everything else he has. But he pieces things together. But I think several trends have been set with him, and this is what separates him so much, that when you have these comparisons, because if you're going to be compared to him, there's one thing, and I don't know, Caleb hadn't had a chance to go, you know, obviously be with an NFL team yet, but Bryce Young did this. You got to be their friend, man. You got to be someone they like. Because if you're not, if you're Russell Wilson, had your own parking space and your own office and stuff like that, guys will eventually build up resentment over that.
You're up on the higher floor.
Mahomes plays video games with people. He talks to them. Like, there's guys, you saw the quarterback series. He, like, makes everybody feel comfortable and at home. That's what you need. You need guys to run through a brick wall for you. That's the intangible Mahomes has. It's like Joe Montana. Joe Montana in a Super Bowl against the Bengals would point out, hey, there's John Candy up there. Like, he would, in a crucial situation, he would joke around, relax everybody. When they were in River Falls, Wisconsin, when he was a Chief, he'd take the linemen out to drink beers at the local bar, Bozenmine. That's the thing you got to do to get people to play behind you, and these are why certain guys win. The Chiefs created two different things. Obviously, something's tried to been replicated, but not, is the whole Alex Smith dynamic. That you have this quarterback that's good, very good at the point. I mean, he wins games, and he knows the writing's on the wall when they draft a quarterback, but he still shows up early. You get Mahomes to show up early. You invite Patrick over to dinner. You don't push him away. You bring him in, show him what you study, show them how you do it, how the business side of football works, and you take them under your wings, that stuff's that stuff doesn't happen. Joe Flacco was going to be that guy for Drew Lock. Saw how that worked.
Well, we saw it with Tannehill and Malik Willis, and
they said it's not my job to groom these guys. Well, yeah. It kind of is.
I actually disagree with that. I don't think it's your job. I think it's the job of the coaching staff.
See, I do though. I think that it takes some personal responsibility for these guys that help groom them and get them to the next level.
Yeah, but that's your training, your replacement. But I don't think anybody should ever be.
But this is what the Chiefs have done, though.
Yeah, but again, you got to look out for yourself in this situation. I think the natural human thing is to be like, is I'm not going to train my replacement.
But that's a big team thing. Like Brandon Albert did it with Eric Fisher, knowing that he was going to take his job. Tom Ball Lee did it with D Ford. He got two extra contracts because D wasn't ready.
Well, yeah, because he knew that D wasn't ready.
But that whole philosophy was one.
It's nice when they do it. I don't think that should ever be the expectation.
And then two is Camp Pat that started last year, kind of with the OTAs and stuff, where Andy's like, go ahead and Andy's such a disciplinarian. He's like, you're shocked that he was like, yeah, go ahead and do it and have the players on Zoom. I trust you. Like, for him to trust you to do that, that shows something. But that kind of set a precedent, the Camp Pat thing. And then we heard that recruits were down there catching passes, like Rasheed Rice was down there catching passes.
Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, Quentin Johnston.
Smith and Jigba. It was Brandon. It was Vikings. No, it wasn't Addison. It was Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers.
That's who it was.
But that's that continuity and chemistry you're looking for. But I think other quarterbacks do get together with the receivers in the offseason sometimes. Not like Camp Pat, man. Camp Pat's about, let's eat together, let's play video games together, let's have fun together.
Yeah, I think this the whole comparison with Mahomes, comparing these kids to a guy with, and again, it's like all about the improvisational aspect, and I think people are selling Mahomes a little short on that in that regard, and I think people are also not understanding the major difference between the level of improvisation that Mahomes does compared to what a lot of these other guys are doing.
And I still think the fact that at that point there's only 128 Division I teams, Texas Tech scoring defense 128th, meaning every time I know they didn't have those monster seasons or something that you expect, and there was a lot of pushback on that when the Chiefs drafted Mahomes. But there has to be something said for a quarterback that's going to score touchdowns every time he goes on the field.
Right, right.
Like, there has to be something said for that. And he's got that winning mentality at all cost that a Jordan had. Steph has that cutthroat instinct. We saw it with Tiger Woods. There's just some people that have it, and you can't teach it. You can't coach it. You either have it or you don't. Yeah. He's got it. He's got that burning desire. So, is he incomparable? Maybe.
I don't think it's unless you get someone that's doing like the crazy improvisation, not just the move around and make a tough throw, like actual like doing stuff that you would think someone's really cocky for doing, like an underhanded throw, flipping it over a lineman to a running back, making a throw with your non-dominant hand. Like I think all of our minds were blown away when he was falling. As Von Miller was taking him down, and he threw it with his left hand. Until somebody does something like that, I don't like. That's not Kristen any.
Well, people thought that play was crazy in Madden, where the quarterback's like falling sideways, and Mahomes did that in real life.
Yeah, you can't do that in Madden. Madden won't let you do that.
I thought they let you throw it. No, you're going out of bounds.
No, Madden will not like that. Madden will not let you make those kind of throws like that. Madden will not let you do the underhanded throw that he
not
made.
Not like that, but not underhanded, just side, throwing it with his right arm, but sideways, kind of as he's falling down.
It won't let you do that either.
Okay, well, it kept showing the highlights of that.
Sack animation. You'll get sacked. If you're going down like that, it'll just count as a sack. It won't let you throw the ball like that.
Are we
going
to see the behind-the-back pass?
Yes.
I think they have to be up by 14.
I think they'll do it at the goal line. I think it'll be a goal line play.
I think you will see it.
I think this will be the year. I'm sure Mahomes isn't going to do it in camp very much, if at all. And I think they're going to
practice it there. He's been doing it the last couple of years.
One of the things that they showed in that was in the lab portion of episode 4 was they were kind of practicing behind the back throws. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it.
I think so too. And the one thing I think he's going to do is the quarterback sneak. And listen,
I don't think he's going to sneak it this year.
What Philly does, that is a brilliant. What they do with Jalen Hurts, That is a brilliant play. That thing's almost like Tecmo Bowl, the automatic play that you would always get. It was San Francisco play three, where they always threw it to the tight end. It didn't matter if they picked, because if you picked the play, they'd stop. The defense would.
Right.
It just always would work. And that Philadelphia play is so good with that quarterback sneak. Like, you think, okay, the Chiefs do it. Will they put Blake Bell there, Noah Gray? Will they find a way to make this work? But there'll be a 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. And it's not going to be regular season. It's not going to be divisional. It'll be conference championship game or Super Bowl on the line. You need 3rd-and-1 because the defense does not expect Patrick Mahomes at all to carry the football. So they're going to concentrate on other players. And then he'll pick it up.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think that
to win a Super Bowl,
I think that's a superstitious thing. I think Mahomes is probably like, no, because you know Mahomes is very superstitious.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to have like a running back, like maybe like Denarius Prince or Isaiah Pacheco lined up under center, and they're going to do it with him.
Speaking of Denarius Prince, you buy in or these running backs and their kind of complaints, because they got on a Zoom call the other day. And it was Eckler put it together. And it was Derrick Henry and McCaffrey and Josh Jacobs, I think, was one. It was all the big dogs. And they were talking about the running back position. And Chris, I used to be a big running back guy. I don't know where you stood on it, but I loved watching running backs.
I was big on the running back in the day. Now it's kind of gotten pushed aside for the passing game. But I was very much a fan of the big, strong power backs that would make that one cut, but also weren't afraid to lower their shoulder and bash into a linebacker and break through that tackle to get extra yards. I love that. Well, I was a big fan of
it. Listen, they're instrumental to get to the postseason, all that, but they're not instrumental to win the Super Bowl. And we haven't seen a running back win Super Bowl MVP.
I don't think they're instrumental to get there either.
Well, we haven't seen a running back. Well, unless you're Derrick Henry or somebody like that.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl.
No, but I mean to make it win through the playoffs a little bit. And just
I don't think you
got to have that quarterback eventually. I think we all know.
Yeah,
that.
I think quarterback winning with the quarterback is much more sustainable than with the
we have not seen a running back win MVP of the Super Bowl for 25 years. It's been a quarter of a century.
Yeah,
and you look at these guys, you think, okay, well, we already know the undrafted free agents are becoming like 7th-round picks, where they prefer to be undrafted free agents because the money's better. The money's actually better being that than
it's for way some better. Of them. Yeah, like Denarius Prince got a way better deal than what most of the running backs in his
should
draft
he have been
class
drafted? Yes, I mean he's fast. It looked like
he's
was
probably he's probably happy that he didn't get drafted. Though.
But you see the reports training; he catches everything. They throw the ball a ton to him out of the backfield. He catches it all the time.
I think he got 5 catches yesterday.
I think Pete even put it: is there something he doesn't catch? Or here's the interesting thing about it: this is how you have to do your homework. Not us, but the Chiefs. Here's Denarius Prince's receptions in college. First year, 0 catches. He only had 2 carries, though. Second year, 88 carries, 11 catches. The next year, 100 carries, 7 catches. This past year, 126 carries, 9 catches. So what I'm saying is, it's kind of like Jonathan Taylor, because he didn't get the ball thrown to him very much at Wisconsin. He scores that touchdown his last year at Wisconsin. I think just kind of like, yeah, I could catch touchdown passes as a running back. So here's the Denarius Prince. And they said, okay, this guy's got hands. Because they test him out and said, all right, we can make this guy a receiver. Even though he's not put up big, you know, because Clyde was drafted because he can catch the ball a ton. He had over 50 receptions last year at LSU.
Right.
But a guy like Denarius Prince, it's kind of like high school kids you see going, why is he going to Alabama? Well, they see something in him. They don't care what, because they're looking at the offense he runs. They're thinking, okay, we can change this guy.
They're looking at the skill set.
Make a better player. This is where running backs are getting. Undrafted or 7th-rounders, you go one contract through, and then you jettison and get another one. This is where we're at. And you know what? We've seen the fullback go the way of Dodo Burton. I like fullbacks still. I know you and I both had fullbacks in the draft. We saw a need for it. But these are positions that are going away. And running back, hey, elite athletes in high school and college, they're going the wide receiver if they have the body type. Now, if they're 250, 260 pounds, they're not playing wide receiver.
No.
And unless they're 6'2 or 6'3, they're not tight ends.
Yeah.
So, okay, or they're going to linebacker, or they're going to safety, or we're seeing guys switch positions. And wide receiver, their franchise tag number is higher than lineman. I mean, it's Odell Beckham. They say he could have been a great running back at LSU, but he's a wide receiver. Look at Tyreek Hill. He played a lot of running back at West Alabama.
He was a running back at Oklahoma State and West Alabama. Yeah, and then he had to convert to wide receiver.
But he could do both, and that's what guys are doing, man. They're taking the Tyreek Hill route.
I think that's the most interesting thing about, like, as you look at, like, a lot of these guys who are going to be coming out of college this year, is, like, I would advise now, if you have the skill set to develop into a wide receiver, do it. Do not, because like these teams are, and look, a lot, I think a lot of the pay discrepancy with the running backs is because of the players, because you've, like, you look at the value of these quarterback contracts that have, you know, exploded over the last decade. Aaron Rodgers signed a 5-year, $110 million deal 10 years ago, $22 million AAV. This offseason, and we probably still have a couple more left with Burrow and Herbert, because they still haven't signed their extensions yet, and they're eligible for it. But Lamar Jackson got $52 million a year in AAV, which is like almost a 150% increase
without an agent.
In the value.
Without an agent, which makes it crazier.
Almost a 150% increase in the value for a top quarterback contract than it was 10 years ago. And it's not a situation where it's like, oh, well, the best quarterback is the highest paid. No, every year, the next quarterback that's going to get their big market-breaking contract is going to beat the previous highest one. That's just how it is now. Instead of it being, oh, well, you're not as good as Patrick Mahomes, so you're only going to get 40 a year instead of 45. Now it is, oh, well, because the salary cap jumps up so much, it's all about the percentage. So you know, as a quarterback, you expect to make X, you know, 20% of the salary cap or whatever. So it's going to jump that number up. And that means that that money's got to come from somewhere, especially as receiver. Like right now, the top receiver contract is 30 a year, and it's only going to be more. It's only going to get higher because you got Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson who are going to be looking for new deals here. T. Higgins is going to be a free agent next offseason. And he's absolutely going to get paid, you know, at or near that $30 million a year.
Pay your quarterback and then win. And then, then when you win, talk. Like, Mahomes is paid, then they still won.
Yeah. And so, like, it's really tough because teams got to make some sacrifices. Defensive ends now, like, top edge rushers are getting over 25 a year. Now you got elite defensive tackles getting 24, 25 a year. Teams got to make some sacrifices there.
And it's at running back, and you never know what's safe and what isn't. Like Tyler Allgeier was a guy I really liked.
1,000-yard rusher last year for Atlanta.
You know I was a big fan of him.
I know you were. You mocked him to the Chiefs multiple times.
Yeah, I took Tyler Allgeier. Instead of Pacheco, I took Allgeier in the fifth. They would have had to go to the fifth to get him. But still, I thought, okay, this is going
to be. You were mocking him to the Chiefs in the fourth round.
Yeah, I liked Allgeier. Yeah. So he goes 1,000 yards. They still draft Bijan Robinson.
Still draft.
It's like, what are they doing, man? Too. It's like, okay, I love Bijan. What are you doing, though, man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not about that. You want to win, you got to have a quarterback. And we think a lot of these teams that don't have quarterbacks, they will, looks like, get a quarterback this year because this class is loaded. At this point,
we'll see.
With 6 to 8 quarterbacks being taken in the first round.
I just, like, at this point now, and I don't know if I'd want to play the position knowing that you're not going to get compensated based on your production.
As Nick Chubb was like referring to, what's it matter? Like, you go out and run for 2,000 yards, you know what they're going to say? Great year, but you're going to worn out now.
Yeah.
Because like, if a running back goes down and gets 2,000 yards, you're going to say, well, he got too many carries.
Like, right now,
he's going to decline.
Right now, the running back is going the way of the used car. Yep. Like, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it depreciates in value. That's what a running back
is. Get 2,000 yards. That's great.
Oh, put some trophies on the mantle. Now you have 2,000 yards on your legs.
You ain't getting paid.
You have 2,000 yards on your legs. That's more mileage. And now all of a sudden we're going to trade you in and get a new model. That's exactly what they are now. And it's unfortunate. And it's like I said, part of it is the fact that the contracts have exploded so much that teams are like, we can't afford to pay, you know, X. Like, you look at like the teams that are in cap hell right now, like the Browns, who are right now are projected to be like $83 million over the cap. They have 10 contracts for 2024 that are 8-figure cap hits next year. 10 that are 8-figure cap hits next year. Most teams just can't afford that. Because you know you're going to have to blow it up and you're going to lose some really good players. So it's easier to do the way the Chiefs are doing, which is we'll pay a few people here and there. We'll probably ask some of them to take some team-friendly deals, but we're going to make some sacrifices in other spots. And running back is going to be one of those positions. And it's just, it's unfortunate for them, but it's just kind of the reality of what the game has become, because quarterbacks, wide receivers, edge rushers, offensive tackles, and cornerbacks have increased so much in value. And then you got teams out here paying like guards $20 million, like the Falcons who play Chris Lindstrom $20 million a year this year. Like, stuff like that is going to eventually lead to running backs not getting paid.
Does it affect college football, though, do you think?
I think so.
Bottom line.
I think there will be a lot of players who play in, who are looking to play running back, who will not play at that position, who will transition to something else with the higher earning potential.
They look what's going on in the NFL, and they're like, wait a minute, these guys aren't happy? Let's play that on a Zoom call.
Like, if I, especially because like the prime for a running back is way earlier than any other position. Like, you're a college quarterback, you're not that great when you get to the NFL, more than likely. But like, what's the one position that you can watch at the collegiate level and you can immediately see them transfer, you know, immediately be an impact player at the NFL level? It's running back. And it always has been running back. Running back has always been able to translate over. You don't need to sit a running back for 2 years so they can learn how to play NFL style ball. If your running back sucks as a rookie, he's probably going to suck in his second year and third year. Most of those guys translate well very quickly into their time in the pros. And because of that, it's because, you know, the transition's a lot easier. But also, they have accrued a lot of mileage when they were in college. And that means that when they get to the NFL, they only got a certain amount of hits left in them, and they've already used a bunch of those hits.
And you're not going to get a ton of sympathy from other players. Because,
oh, no, because they're trying to get their union money, too.
Exactly. So if you're like, wait, we need a bigger piece of the pie, then they're going to say, well, what, at the expense of me?
Exactly. You think
you're not going to get much locker room support.
Like, you think Tyreek Hill was going to take less money so the Chiefs could pay one of their running backs? No, absolutely not. Do you think Mike Williams, when he signed that contract with the Chargers, was thinking about Austin Ekeler?
No.
You think Keenan Allen, when he signed his contract with the Chargers, was thinking about Austin Ekeler? Hell no, he wasn't. You think Daniel Jones, when he got $40 million a year, was thinking about Saquon Barkley? Hell no. He couldn't believe that they offered him $40 million a year. So he's like, I'm never going to get this money if I hit the market.
Oh, you didn't like my my Daniel Jones.
That was a terrible take.
How's it a terrible take? You ran for over 700 yards.
Yeah, no, you said he was a, what did you say he was? You said he was better than Dak?
No, there was,
Better than Dak.
I think he is.
He's not better than Dak.
I think he's better than Dak.
No, he's Matt Cassel.
I think he's better than Dak.
He's not better than Dak.
But he ran a 4.67 at the combine, but he ran for over 700. He's very timely running.
He's never accounted for 4,000 total yards in a season.
We got in a debate because some say Justin Fields, best running quarterback ever. But there's Michael Vick that's had 1,000 yards out there. Lamar Jackson's had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, no, Lamar Jackson right now is the best running quarterback of all time.
I'll take Lamar.
No, you can't say Daniel Jones is better than Dak. He's never accounted for 4,000 total yards in his career.
We'll end on this, Chris, unless there's something else you want to hit, anything pressing you want to hit, but... So the receiver position, and obviously you're a Florida guy. You love talking some Chomp and some Gators. Kadarius Toney, you know, guy that played 7 years his junior year. So he's often injured at Florida. He comes to the Giants, was injured. Okay, give him a new place in Kansas City. But then he gets hurt right away with the Chiefs. And he made a great play in the Super Bowl, but all of a sudden had this pressure.
Okay, made a couple great plays in the Super
Bowl. This could be our number one receiver. Well, you and I were, well, I think you were on DeAndre Hopkins. I think you were on.
Yeah, I was cool. Okay. I just didn't want them to trade for
him. And I think there was some genuine interest from the Chiefs, or they would have just backed off.
Yeah.
But they were texting him up till the end. It was gonna free up about $10.5 million with Chris Jones with the extension whenever he gets it, which I do believe he will. But regardless, DeAndre Hopkins, like, all right, he's got to go take his deal, which I always thought was, eh. If I'm a Titans, am I really that happy with that he's sitting out there waiting and flirting with the Bills and the Chiefs and everything else?
As long as you get him, I don't think you care. Because do you think he was at the top? They were at the top of the list if everything was equal.
But still, he would have been the number one receiver the minute he puts pen to paper,
right?
For the Chiefs. Yeah. Now you're up there with Tony. Can he be the? Does the Chiefs even need a number one? That's the question. There, do they need a number one? Sky Moore looks great. His development from year one to year two. MVS, I think, is what you get in MVS. I think he got the best of them last year in that Bengals game. I think that's kind of his ceiling.
Yeah.
And he's good. But, again, he's 6'4 and runs a 4.37. Like, I want to see that separation.
Balls.
I want to see that separation from him, but that's not a number one. Rashee Rice, been doing some good things. He won their physical competition. That when you sign up for physicals, he got the best score or whatever.
Right, right.
But Andy Reid's, you know, receivers in the first or the first drafted receiver don't always do well with him, rookie receivers. But again, I think there was an interest there. I do think this is the year for the Chiefs to finally get that wide receiver. This wide receiver class is bigger. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., you're not getting. That's someone that's going
top
early
five
on the draft
pick.
And he's going to place already as a quarterback, though.
Yeah.
Because like the Cardinals, they would want him, but they got to worry about the quarterback situation as well. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a stud. We haven't seen somebody like this since Calvin Johnson come out. So that's probably going to be off the table. But then there's a host of other receivers. Emmanuel Agbuka is from Ohio State, but he's 6'1", over 200 pounds. Now, he's the second receiver at Ohio State that puts up big numbers. And we've seen the quality of receivers at Ohio State. Chris Olave is good in the NFL. Garrett Wilson's certainly good in the NFL. We've seen, okay, that's legit. Quarterbacks may not work out from Ohio State. We'll see about Stroud. Receivers do. So we get two receivers from Ohio State that'll be drafted. And Xavier Worthy out of Texas. The thing about Xavier is he is over 6 foot. At least he's been measured that before he goes to the combine. But he's like 160 pounds. So
yeah, he's 162 is what he was weighing.
And Adunze at Washington, okay, that's another stud. Malik Nabers at LSU, a guy that a lot of people are looking at. Johnny Wilson at Florida State. He's 6'7".
6'7".
Yeah, so
235. He's. I mean, if he puts on like 10 or 20 more pounds, he's a tight end.
Well, I'm curious what his 40 will be at 6'7".
Yeah,
will that be tight end type?
Probably a tight end.
Troy Franklin to Oregon puts up big numbers. Of course, that's Bo Nix's big target there. Donnie Mitchell coming out of Texas. Mario Williams, USC, obviously the connection with Caleb Williams.
Devontae Walker, North Carolina.
But we're seeing bigger receivers. It's gone to this is the premium position. This is where the high school elite athletes are going to in college is playing a wide receiver at those ranks. Yeah, the Chiefs will probably be picking at the end of the first round. You hope they're picking at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
But there should be receivers there for the Kansas City Chiefs, even if they have to move up five or six spots to get a receiver. Tight end is another one that everybody's mocking tight end of the Chiefs. Not Brock Bowers. It's the best tight end in the draft out of Georgia. He's going probably... I've seen him slip into 12 or 13. There's
I think
no
he's
way
top 10. I don't care what the mocks are right now. I think he's top 10. I think he's going to have a hell of a year this year, top 10.
So would you go elite tight end? Or would you go wide receiver in the first round?
So, if the Chiefs could get Brock Bowers, that's the guy I want. That kid is electric. Like, that kid, you can see it.
Oh, you can. He's got that it.
He plays the game like a wide receiver, much in the same way. Well,
Spencer Rattler is another one in the first-round quarterback. Go
Spencer
ahead.
Rattler's not going to be a first-round quarterback. That man's been, he was projected as a first-round quarterback 2 years ago.
But we see tight end a lot with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. It's one of the things.
I could see Bowers there, but I think that whoever is sitting there in the top 10 is going to be looking at him the same way that the Falcons looked at Kyle Pitts.
It's Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
Yeah, Sanders.
6'4", about 250 pounds. 56 catches last year at Texas. You're not seeing a lot of tight ends loaded in this class.
No, it's not as good of a tight end class as last year.
It's a lot of quarterbacks and receivers.
Yeah. I think receiver, if Kadarius ends up not panning out this year, which this ain't a good start to the season for KT, then I think wide receiver is absolutely going to be the primary position they're going to have to look at for the draft for next season. Unless there is a disaster that happens in this Chris Jones situation and they feel like there is a defensive tackle that they can draft that could be someone that they could eventually turn into Chris Jones, the next Chris Jones in the middle of that defensive line. That's the only way I can see receiver not being up there if this whole KT situation turns out the way that it looks like it very well might. Because as much as I like Kadarius, I watched him a lot of Florida. I did not feel like he was a first-round player. I thought he was a first-round talent, but I didn't think he was someone the Chiefs should draft in the first round because he has injury issues and because he's someone who is great athletically but never really quite developed a skill set other than running after the catch. And so that concerned me. But I think the Chiefs very well. I mean, this is the type of class. I know you're if you look at the size of all these wide receivers here you just named off.
We're seeing Johnny Wilson runs a 4.42 at 6.7. I want to see it at the combine.
You're all about it.
I want to see it,
though. Yeah, you're all about it. But
I heard about it. I've heard about a lot of numbers. And we go to the combine, we see different numbers.
But, like, all of these guys are of the bigger type, except for the whatever it was, the 6'1", the 6 foot, 162
pounds. These smaller guys.
He's a smaller guy, but, like, he could probably put on some weight. Probably takes time to grow into.
He can probably get up to 180.
Yeah, he can get up to 180. He's good. But, like, this is a taller wide receiver class than last year's by a mile. Like, by a mile. Last year, it was all guys who were under 6 foot tall. It was all 5'10", 5'11 guys. Now, the only guy on there that's under 6 foot, I think, is Ladd McConkey at Georgia. All those other guys are tall, and you've got a 6'7 wide receiver at Florida State. Yeah. So it's like, this is a kind of draft class where there's going to be plenty of speed.
It's a red zone threat, but
yeah, I mean, I don't think they're gonna get like a real
but
big
you're talking
guy.
About a guy in the late 20s at this point.
But yeah,
Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, but I don't think he's their kind of guy. I think he would be a tight end. But I think that there's a lot of options on the table for a really good physical, fast, agile wide receiver. It's going to have a little bit more size to him. So there's options for that if that's what they really covet in the draft this year. They're really, I mean, obviously, again, this all matters with, and they probably should draft another wide receiver anyways just for depth, but it all matters about what happens with Kadarius Toney. And right now, as we sit here a day after camp started, it ain't looking too good when your number one wide receiver, the guy that they think is their number one wide receiver, tweaks his knee and now might not be available until the start of the season.
Yeah, so you're missing all, like, valuable camp time.
Right.
With Mahomes. And so we'll see what happens. But I do think this is the year that the first round will be tied in a wide receiver. But I've been saying this for the last couple of years, and it didn't have it. But I think it would have been a reach. It would have been a stretch. Because we saw this year, first-round grades, teams will put them out there. Usually 12 to 15 guys will get first-round grades. The other one's essentially second-round grades. Now, when the Chiefs took McDuffie, they had McDuffie's one of their top 18, graded guys,
I believe.
And so, like, okay, let's jump down and get him because he's fallen this far. So they jump down and get him. But I don't think there's as much of a reach on wide receivers. And certainly not tight ends because the quality of them
we'll obviously see as the season goes along. I mean, right now, I mean, it's not even August yet. So for all we know, like, all those six or seven quarterbacks that you're seeing in most mocks, it'll whittle it down to like maybe two or three. And we'll start to see, because like a lot of these mocks that I've looked at, they don't have a whole lot of other positions like safeties or corners. They don't have a whole lot of other impact players. So really right now,
a couple safeties in the first round.
Yes, I'm saying it's like a couple safeties, but like, it's like one for sure, one questionable. Corners is looking a little light this year. We'll obviously see a lot of that change as the season goes along.
In safety, you better have experience in nickel corner.
Oh, yeah.
Better be a guy that you can play safety and we can throw you at nickel and shut down tight ends.
Most of those guys now, like I, in my work with PFF and whatnot, like most safeties now are playing some nickel. Usually depends on which side's the strong side. Most of these guys are playing nickel a pretty regular amount. A lot of teams now are actually kind of doing what the Chiefs have been doing over the years, which is having three safeties on the field, and then one of those guys is going to play nickel. Like, basically, whichever's the stronger side, that guy's going to play nickel, and then one guy's going to be the free safety playing center field. So it's becoming a lot more common for those guys to do that now.
It's like when they drafted Shamari Connor. I keep bringing his name up because it's one of my favorite draft picks of the Chiefs.
Yeah,
because he's my favorite
slot corner safety type.
He led the team in sacks in 19 from a defensive back.
Yeah.
He can play safety, play corner, locks up your tight end, and he plays special teams, all of them. So
yeah, and he's essentially the L'Jarius Sneed replacement.
That's kind of what they need. Good stuff, Chris. We got football on the horizon here, so download your Character Concerns podcast at all your favorite places like
Apple Podcast, Spotify. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app.
610sports.com.
Wherever you're listening to your podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, share, tell all your friends about it. We appreciate the effort you guys put in and getting our name out there. We are going to make sure that this is a regular thing now that football is getting back here. We're going to try and preview other positions out there and kind of get you an idea of how this upcoming college football season is going to go, and that'll prep you for draft season come next
year. Yeah, and look at different guys from the different weeks, the matchups. And sorry, take a look at this guy. Take a look at these four names right here, wide receiver, tight end, or just offensive lineman. Take a look at these guys on this college football weekend and start taking some notes on which guys you'd want, and you can hit Chris and I up on Twitter. Also, we're looking at an email at some point, but at Three Guys in a Garage, my Twitter.
At Sarah260. I'm still calling it Twitter. I don't care what Elon wants to call it. I'm still calling it Twitter. So you can hit us up on Twitter as well. Follow us. We'll keep you updated on the schedule there. But definitely getting back to a regular schedule now that we are on the eve, the cusp. Of camp. And we're like a month away, I think, from week zero for college football season.
Yes. End of August.
I think it's a month away. And then, yeah.
We got some great games.
I'm very excited. I know Florida, I think Florida's playing Miami that weekend. So
we've got some great college football games that weekend. Yes. And we get the NFL quickly starting for that. But Missouri gets going on August 31st. You got a lot of talent. But a lot of these names that we spoke about will be playing that first weekend of college football.
Yeah, like I said, Ohio State, Georgia. I think those two teams are probably going to be two of the biggest ones as far as talent goes. Oregon's going to be interesting because of Bo Nix. Obviously, USC because of Caleb Williams.
Missouri State and KU going that first weekend.
A lot of interesting teams.
CNO and Kansas State.
Right, there's going to be a lot of interesting teams that we're going to be following throughout the year. So make sure you stick with us.
Stick with us. We'll have another podcast coming your way in 2 weeks. Good night. Good afternoon. Whatever.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.